It doesn't mean we have to change anything.
Yeah.
Welcome everybody back to the Unreasonable Grounds podcast.
Unreasonable Grounds
After Dark.
After Dark.
Bum, bum, bum.
What is the Unreasonable Grounds After Dark, may you ask? And
unfiltered, good sound
effects. Raw.
God, don't say raw.
Oh God,
raw. Oh,
is we've done this a couple times where we've planned episodes, and this is yet again another episode. If you're joining us, welcome to the Unreasonable Grounds podcast, and if you're back, welcome back. But what we do is we record episodes, and then what we do is, because we're extra tired and we work today, we throw one out for fun. There's no donut, breaking donut. There's chips.
Half a brain.
We're eating half a brain. There's usually some scotch or some, what did we get today? Old fashions?
Old fashions.
We got some old fashions. This is super strong for me. God, I'm a sissy when it comes to this stuff. But again, we have some good conversation. This one's going to be a full-on open forum conversation. We're not going to get too much build up into it because I think you just want to get after dark, after hours episode in. Open forum discussion. All right. So I'm going to give you guys some news here. We're going to go over it. I'm going to be quoting a news article.
From where?
Let's see. One sec.
Oh, so you're not prepared.
God, you suck. Screw you, Eric. Screw you, Eric. Okay, so I'm going to read this out for you for a second. It's actually from Motor Trend, an established periodical of sorts when it comes to the automotive industry. And it says, see Tesla Cybertruck go full RoboCop as police truck. Interesting. It says, if we told you that a massive technology firm revealed plans to mass produce a utilitarian police vehicle with a stainless steel body, you might think we were describing the plot of a RoboCop spinoff. Sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. God, I can't even read tonight.
My reading not good.
Should have heard doing these media releases, and I'm like trying to read off the media release to the media. How many times can we say media in a minute?
Media.
Because Oracle co-founder Larry Ellison recently revealed plans to create a police cruiser based on the Tesla Cybertruck. AKA the flying wedge, the doorstop, whatever the hell you want to call it, the robo-tank. It might seem strange that the technology company like Oracle is getting into the business of producing police cars, but the firm has actually worked with law enforcement for a while now. Oracle currently builds communications and technology software solutions for police, fire, and first responder agencies.
Hermes.
Exactly. The Cybertruck wouldn't be the company's first police vehicle either. The first was based on the 2022 Ford Explorer. However, the Explorer required the installation of additional equipment to work with Oracle systems, such as adding a large Android tablet to the center of the dashboard. Honestly not going to go any further. I am going to show you some photos, and we're going to work with that. These are just
renderings,
so to speak, of the Cybertruck as a police vehicle shown by Oracle, hence why they have their name all over it. Okay.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Mm-hmm. You're both broken. I am going to take a certain standpoint on this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have an individual in the room. Well, two EV individuals in the room. I am still stuck in
the past.
An ice vehicle, whatever. But I'll leave my opinions to the end. Boys, I'm going to open up the table on this one. The Cybertruck as a PC, go.
I think, you have to look at any truck as a PC. I mean, you have to be policing that geography, that landscape that necessitates a truck. I mean, I same as you, Mike, you know, we've both worked in places, you know, I spent two different places that, you know, regular PC was a half-ton truck. Well, sorry, one place was a three-quarter ton truck, which was overkill. Their place was a half-ton. I mean, if you don't need a truck bed, if you don't need that capacity, you don't need the four-wheel drive and the weight and all those things. Like in an urban environment, you don't need any of that. You don't need a truck bed. I mean, like, hate to say it, but like our current Explorers that we use, they have enough room. They have enough of everything that, yeah, I mean, it's great. It's cool. But I mean, unless you're policing that geography, you're policing that landscape, you don't need it.
I hate to be contrarian. But
I do.
I think you the entire it. Ford Explorer fleet should be retired. I think we should all switch to F-150s.
Here. Explain.
Yeah, go on.
I'd love to hear an argument. Make your argument, and then we'll beat the crap out of it. Go.
Reason one, our detachment area is huge. We have numerous logging roads.
Mm-hmm.
Issue number one. Two, how many times?
They're all locked, but okay.
That's true. They're all locked.
How many times have you had to deal with
zombies behind them?
A whole bunch of weird, gross crap that you don't want to put in your PC, but you have to put in your PC now. And now your whole car smells like pee.
And you just put it in the back.
Yeah, not that often.
No,
bikes,
not that
often. Moving bikes around.
Yeah, I don't touch bikes anymore.
Yeah, you just throw them on the front.
That's City Yard's deal.
Yeah, I just don't want to drive a truck because I drive a truck at home.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay.
That's my entire
argument. So I see the crux.
It's a man thing. I get it.
The crux of your argument is that you like trucks.
And it'd be better from a back. It's more roomy.
What?
Roomier.
You're telling me, and this is a good reason why we had this conversation. I like these conversations because they're legit. It's not scripted. You're going to tell me that your 150, because that's all we're dealing with now, are all 150s. Yeah. All those old Silverados are done.
Oh, the Silverados.
There's no more Silverados coming out for the most part. From what I keep hearing is that BC has now switched over within the RCMP is a strict 150s. The 150s are sitting in Oceanside. I think they have two now in Oceanside. It's a whole bunch down island. And
we just got an F-250.
Yeah, the island is, the LMD is filled with the F-150s for the higher up areas.
Yeah.
And all across the division, they've gone. And then Canada has all switched to the Fords. And you're telling me that F-150 is going to have more room and is better for your back than a Explorer?
Yeah, they're a bigger vehicle than the Explorer.
But no, I get that. But I just mean...
Getting in and out of that thing all day and banging on... So when I was in the lodge, we had 3-quarter-ton trucks. And they decided you don't need 3-quarter-ton trucks.
No.
You just need a truck. But the clearance that they had off the road and the way they had the running boards weren't really in a useful place. So you just stepped out, like that continual banging on your leg and on your knee. Like it's not like getting out of your car now and you're just stepping out. Like it's like, I'm not a big person. And if you are, like you still have to, there's that jarring motion down. It's just not practical, especially like in a place like where we work, where like you have narrow roads, you have small parking spaces. Like sometimes.
Okay. Okay. You guys went, we should have at least one.
Oh no,
GD.
I like the 150. Or at least the
for
pickups.
A PC. I would rather have a GMC Sierra PC, but
no, I see the benefit, and I do it. I mean, and we might be looking a little bit away off topic. I mean, we're still talking about trucks, and we'll kind of segue back into the Cybertruck that we're going to talk about, because it can be the popular Cybertruck as a police car episode. But the pickup trucks, I like how you're talking about the premise that it's nice to have a big vehicle. It's nice to have some cargo space to be able to put miscellaneous items that you don't necessarily want to. Am I going to be putting a homeless person or person experiencing homelessness?
Unhoused individual.
Unhoused, underhoused, whatever the hell it is, whatever they're under the house.
Sometimes that's quite literal.
It could be the case. I'm not going to be putting their shopping cart in the back of whatever. But if it's something that requires a little bit more space than that, I can honestly tell you probably twice I've had to have in 6 years I've been working here, and even with street crimes and that, where we've had the opportunity where we're like, hey, I really wish we would have had the PC and we can go and get stuff. Or I'm going to have to call up F&P or IPS. To say like, hey, listen, can we borrow your truck to come out and pick up this bike or whatever it was? And I think the only time we did do it was when we recovered one of those recumbent. Thank you. Bicycles that one of them was stolen, and we got it repaired and got it back to the owner. And that was the only time we ever had to, because otherwise you just get City Yard to do it. I do like the height advantage that comes with the 150 Silverado platform. You can see more. You can do that. It is nice to have a larger vehicle with a little bit more weight behind it. Let's say if you had to get into a tactical situation. We all know that anytime you get into a TVT situation and you're like, God, I wish I didn't have this again. Let's face it, they're all looking the same these days. It's basically, it kind of looks like a Range Rover, the Explorer, just lower and longer. Why I have this ramp looking vehicle where the 350 is just going to go up and over me, right? Or a U-Haul or something like that. I'd like to have that bigger vehicle. Those are all I likes. I like. Not necessarily a need.
No, I get that.
But that being said, it is nice to have that. I would like to get into something where I don't have to get squished into the inside. But I feel the Explorer isn't that bad. Even I'm at 6'2".
It's much better than the Taurus.
It is way better than the Taurus.
Taurus should have never been a thing.
Yeah.
They should still be making Crown Vics. I want a new version of the Crown Vic.
I wish they would do it before.
I want a new body on frame version of the Crown Vic.
I think getting back to the V8. Getting back to the Cybertruck.
On a Cyber Crown Vic.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
The juxtaposition of you likely policing, and speaking for Canada and the places that the RCMP police, or just any police force, I guess, but the trucks and the SUVs, as far as RCMP goes, are designated for the more remote, isolated posts, the rural detachments. These are generally attachments that don't have as much charging infrastructure that you would need for an EV. So it's like, you have the area that needs the trucks, but you're probably not going to have as much of the infrastructure to charge these things. Yeah, I mean, especially something like this, like if you deplete that battery, or you're also in the north, which again, a lot of
cold,
dealing with the cold.
18 hours of scene security will drain that battery damn quick.
Yeah, you're looking at, you know, a 25 to 30% loss in battery once you get into the minus, you know, into the teens. You know, it's efficacy is pretty mute at that point.
Yeah, it doesn't make very much sense at all. I mean, you know, I could see, we're just talking about the novelty of having one, and we can talk a little bit here when it comes to interior size and the ability to use it as a PC with a functioning prisoner area in the back, silent patrolman edition, all these different things that would come out of it, let alone the truck. Do you guys see those new things with the Cybertruck, how the front end comes down? It can basically, people have been putting carrots inside them and like locking them off. God, I can only imagine what that's going to
be. But then people are
like,
well, if I put my hand in any car door,
it's going to do the same thing. Yeah, too, it's going to tear stuff off. But I mean, like, when it really comes down to it, if we're just looking at the straight novelty of having it, we talked a little bit about the trucks, but is that vehicle, is that platform? And we talked about the EV with the Ford Lightning in the past. We had the EV episode where we talked about that. And like you said, the efficacy of having that, is that going to be, you know, the truck that's going to be? Is it going to be a Rivian? Because I've heard the same thing. Are they testing out the Rivians to be able to be the truck? So but the Cybertruck, is it a gimmick? Because like the Tesla, I don't know. Go ahead, Eric.
So the one thing I think, like, the advantages that truck has is a big one is the stainless steel, right? We're not going to have to worry to the same degree about rust. But the other issue is that...
You can't fix it.
You can't fix it, though, right? It's not... First time that thing gets rammed, which will happen, or a member puts it into a post that they forgot was there.
Okay, leave him out of it.
Okay.
God, he doesn't listen, but you imagine if he listens.
He's got a bad hand.
There's one guy you don't go after.
Sorry, I should have known. I know.
He's got a bad hand.
I wasn't referring to him. I was referring to someone else.
No, you weren't.
No, you weren't. Especially the first day that they installed that pole.
First hour, I think.
First hour. The guy who was installing was looking at it as it happened.
Mm-hmm. He just finished painting it.
Meh. It comes up, meh. Yeah. I mean, the stainless steel, like,
My big concern with it is I've never seen one in real life. I have no idea what the interior is going to be like in real life. You can look at pictures all you want, but how is that going to look, right? How is that going to lend itself to policing? The other thing I have, and the same issue I kind of have with other cars, is our attachments going to be putting in, like, commercial-grade fast chargers, right?
I heard about that today. Did you hear about that? Did somebody tell you about that?
Oh, no. I was just thinking about, because you can go to the fast charger at, let's say, Canadian Tire and charge your car in 20 minutes, right? But that's
I heard a rumor thing that they're actually putting one in.
At the detachment?
At the detachment.
No, I think Mark made that up.
Who did you get that from?
Did he make that up?
He made that up, yeah.
That son of a bitch. Underground, yeah, Unreasonable Grounds podcast after dark. That son of a bitch.
Yeah, it ain't happening.
God, you can't do that to me.
That's my concern, right? If we're going into like a home level two or level three home, well, no, level two is as high as you can get for a home charger right now, I think. Yeah okay. A level two home charger, that's going to be an 8-hour charge. So you're ripping that car around all day. Does that mean the members are plugging it in and unplugging it every time they get in and out, try to keep a charge up?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a lot of YouTube videos. I want one. I love the Cybertruck. I think the technology in it, the 40, like, it's not just the design,
what is the
design
price
of the truck
on the Cybertruck now. I haven't been following it. I've been living in a.
They
in
haven't
a cave.
Announced Canadian prices yet. The American prices range anywhere from, I think, mid 70s all up to just over 100.
So is it cheaper or more expensive than a Rivian?
Same. I think the dual motor is cheaper. The tri-motor is about the same or a little more. It's got the 48-volt architecture. It's got the new battery pack. It's got drive-by-wire steering. All these things that no one else is doing yet. You know, the drive-by-wire steering is amazing. The 48-volt architecture means way less wires, thinner wires. It's got a 600-volt battery pack. It's got Tesla's newest battery in there. It's got a ton of technology in there. It's not only is it just a groundbreaking truck, but it's also got a lot of groundbreaking technology to the point that Tesla and Elon sent out a booklet to all the other car manufacturers saying, here's how you make 48-volt architecture. Here's how you do it. And they sent to everybody this book.
They did the same thing with their batteries a couple years back too, didn't they?
Yeah. They want this out there. It's a Gucci truck. It's an expensive truck. Our vehicles should not be expensive.
No, I agree.
They cannot, and I'm not saying that from...
Have you talked
from a police officer's point of view? I'm talking from like a taxpayer's point of view.
Yep.
We need to be driving, I'm not going to say disposable, but like either easily repairable or write them off and get new vehicles. Like they're not like fire trucks where like you keep them for like 20 years and they're worth like $250,000. Like they just get destroyed and then you get new ones.
So I'll make an analogy.
I just want that really ultimately, I'm going to change it up completely. Ultimately, what I want back is I want back NA3404.
See the Crown Vic.
I miss that car.
I imagine you and Woodsy both, but I'll make an analogy. We should have NASCAR and not Formula One.
Yeah.
Like those NASCARs, they just beat the piss out of them. And let's face it, our PCs on a day-to-day basis get the piss beaten out of them.
Yeah, they don't need to be nice.
No.
Nope, they don't. I mean, yeah. I would like them to look a little nicer, and I think that goes right across the board. But I think the stainless steel, if they're going to be doing something like that, you can't paint stainless steel. You could do a powder coat, my understanding. You
can wrap it.
And you could wrap it.
Yeah, decals.
But I mean... It's going to look pretty stupid.
It'll get ripped up pretty quick.
Oh, I've seen pictures. People are doing renderings of like the NYPD and whatever it might be. They look ridiculous. I can't think of any situation where we'd be doing that. Hence why I think it's this ridiculous novelty idea of doing that. But like you said, I agree with you, Wezzel, when it comes to the taxpayer money. You need vehicles that are trustworthy. They need them to be repaired quick. You need them to be accessible. Cheap. Wherever you are, there's a Ford dealership, for example. Why we've gone with Ford for so long.
Yeah.
There's Ford dealers everywhere.
Yeah.
In the United States, there are Chevy dealerships absolutely everywhere throughout that country. Hence why, for some reason, they kept going with those Impalas and the Caprices. I mean, I don't know if you knew. Did you know that, Eric, that they still have Caprices rolling around the States? Chevy has put that model out for years.
Seen them. And Chevy doesn't... Are they still producing them?
I don't think they're producing them anymore. Probably a few years ago they stopped. Like maybe five, 6 years ago.
Ford or Chevy who completely stopped doing cars?
That was Ford. They got rid of the Taurus.
Has Chevy gone the same way with like the Malibus they're making? I saw a Malibu PC and it actually didn't look terrible, but I'm sure it...
That was NYPD.
Probably. NYPD?
Yeah, it would have been. They're really big. NYPD goes into like the Fusion and a couple other vehicles. They really like those small platforms because, again, they don't need prisoner areas. And when they do, they transport it without a silent patrolman, which I think is insane.
I'm all about the big old prisoner van.
I like the Bunners too, and hence why we've gone to a Transit. But like, yeah, like the idea of it, this Cybertruck. I mean, we talked about the fiscal restraint that should be shown when taking on these vehicles. But I mean, like at the same time, we look at it and we're still seeing these test pilot projects with the Teslas and the EVs across Canada. We're starting to see more and more Mach-Es come out with the obviously the Mustang. With the Ford product, we're starting to see more and more of the RCMP piloting the Tesla. What is it? The Model Model Y. Thank you. Westshore being one of them. And I think I heard a rumor that Ottawa is going to be trying to test out something as well, too.
They need to be tested. That's not a good... Sorry, they might be listening. Ottawa would be a great location to test one.
Hey, you know what? If it gets the temperature, it gets into the weather and all the rest of it. Well, but they get to drive it around a lot. But
it goes back to, though, you know, firefighters get fire trucks. They're purpose built vehicles for the job they do.
They don't look pretty.
They don't look pretty.
They do. They kind of do.
But they
make them look
pretty. But police don't get that. We get a civilian vehicle that has had modifications to it, not a lot, and we get the police version of that civilian vehicle. The Chevy Caprice, when it was brought back into service,
too small.
In the United States,
it was very small.
Yes, it was
petite.
It was only for law enforcement, but it was based on a Holden, I'm pretty sure, out of Australia.
Out of Australia.
Yep. Again, a civilian vehicle. There's nobody. There have been companies that have tried and have put forward prototypes of a purpose-built police vehicle.
It was come out too expensive.
It's cost way too expensive. Way too much money.
What was that? What was that? Was it the Omni? There was one that had like a triangle or the like a diamond shaped logo on the front of it. I think it was like the Omni, and that's years ago. We're talking like,
yeah, I remember that.
2009, 2008. They came out with this, and they were like, it looked like a Tesla. Actually,
weren't they close to like 100K?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous,
right? And then I know even you know, for Ford, you can buy Ford Explorers pre-wired from the factory with lights.
Yeah,
we don't buy those here because they're more expensive, but the end of the day is Ford builds a vehicle that's designed to do that or to take that ability, right? I'm not a Ford guy by any means. I've owned Fords, but I prefer GM products, and I prefer GM products for the most part. If I was, I'm still bitter. My wife will hear this. I wanted a Model Y, and I ended up with a Korean Tesla instead. Anyways.
Did you drive it here? Or did you drive your truck?
No, I drove my truck.
Oh, smart man.
Sorry, can you edit that out? Because my wife may listen to this. I don't need that argument when I get home.
No, you don't. No. I'm like, wonder why the truck's still here.
It was, we both agreed on this car. I'm like, yes, we both agreed on this vehicle.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just wondering, because when Ellis did that, and somebody else, I can't remember what it was, and somebody made the comments about, oh, well, we have a Cybertruck. Could you make it a police vehicle? And it was like a one-off comment from somebody had just tagged. I'm so bad with social media, but like somebody had tagged Elon Musk on the whole thing. And he literally came back and actually replied back to him at this, just somebody. It could be a nobody. It was like, yeah, we could do that. Right? Like, I get it. But my question is, yeah, you could do it, but should you do it?
No,
make your Cybertruck. You created something that is probably just, I don't know, hate me if you're going to hate me. It's just about as ugly as my 1994 Pontiac Transport minivan.
Well, you don't like the way they look?
It's stupid.
The Cybertruck?
The Cybertruck.
Have you?
Okay. We're not there. We're not in year 3000.
But okay. It could be. So looking at still photos of it, but have you watched YouTube videos though?
I have, and I've watched some of the Camisa stuff. I don't know if you watch any of those videos that I've been sending you, Jason Camisa. When he does his videos and that, and he talks about, he did a whole review on the Cybertruck, and he loves the EVs. He gives them full time and that. So I've seen it. I've seen him do the full review around the car and what it looks like. I've seen the recent videos of it getting stuck in the snow, which I thought that was absolutely hilarious. Every vehicle is going to get stuck in the snow, and people are like freaking out about it. But it does absolutely nothing for me, because it just looks, again, like they try to do with the Aztec, as we brought it up earlier tonight in the other episode. We talked about the Pontiac Aztec. It's just like they threw a bunch of lines down, and I know that that's forward design because it's efficient. And that's what the whole point of it is. The same thing as the Tesla, the S3, X, and Y, or whatever. They're all very efficient designs made to be able to do that EV vehicle right when it comes to its efficiency and its aerodynamics and whatever it might be. I guess when you're talking about a truck, as much as they've tried over the years, they can't just make it do that. But in this case, they just made something that is aerodynamically a very slick looking brick.
I'm not going to lie. When I was so excited about the Cybertruck before it came out, before we knew what it looked like, I looked at all the possible ideas of what it might end up looking like, the Model X-ish looking one, all the different versions. And when I watched the unveiling, I'm not going to lie, I was disappointed. I was.
Absolutely. And the window thing was hilarious.
That was pretty funny.
But he even said on Rogan, when he went on there, he actually said that actually sold, like pre-sale, hundreds of thousands of these trucks.
Yeah.
So now, whether or not they come through.
Exactly. And with that, though, as time has gone on, I have warmed to it.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm in the same camp.
right? I was like, well, you know what? I actually don't mind the look. I don't mind what they're doing with it. I don't mind the interior. I don't mind. I don't mind at all. And if it comes at a price point cheaper than a Rivian, okay. It has better tech. At the end of the day, I think it's going to have better tech.
Oh, but yeah.
Tesla's the OG when it comes to the EV stuff, and it's going to have better tech.
Yeah.
And ultimately, with the way I think cars are going, it's not... You want to have one that's got the good technology in it. Like, you don't want... It.
He's still on his Kia. Or his Hyundai. His Hyundai. And he's just like, oh, God.
You know, when you buy a vehicle... I'm not saying anything about that. I'm just saying if you buy a vehicle for that price point and you plug in your phone and it disconnects because it doesn't have over-the-air wireless CarPlay and it just disconnects every 5 seconds.
That's that problem.
It's sensitive. So sensitive. No,
that's not what you want.
I think,
but that car also looks kind of funky too.
It is, and I actually I do love
you dig
the
it.
Ioniq. I still do. I still like it. It's a lot of fun to drive. It's a neat little car, but it could be better.
Yeah, I bet.
One of the biggest things that I have with EVs and what sets in my mind Tesla and Rivian apart, and this is just kind of going off a tangent here, is the over-the-air updates. So whether you're buying a 2019 Model 3 or 2022 Model 3 or whatever, you get any of those cars and the display and everything is exactly the same because it's like your iPhone. Whether you have an iPhone 12 or a 10 or 14, you're running the same iOS. It's the same with a Tesla and a Rivian. Over-the-air updates, you get in there. Once you buy that car is going to continue to improve and get better. There's no other manufacturer that is capable or is doing that. If I go buy a $110,000 Mercedes electric vehicle, that vehicle is going to get no better from the time I drive it off the lot. Mercedes is not going to send me any updates to update that vehicle. I'm going to get maybe updates in infotainment. That's it. There's going to be no other updates for that vehicle or fixes or bug fixes or anything. Anything that's going to be fixed has to go to the dealership. It's the same as Hyundai or Kia or anybody else. But yet I get in my Tesla and I'll have an update and it's like, oh, now I have Apple Podcasts is now on there. That happened last month.
Which you can listen to the Unreasonable Grounds podcast on.
Yes. Yes, you can. So there's that and that's baked into those cars. And to me, that is such a selling feature when you're paying $60,000 plus for a vehicle. The fact that this thing is going to get better as time goes on is awesome.
That's a huge thing with those things. It's so nice to have that option. And if you need something minor done or your 12,000 K checkup, you just not, oh, I need to make an appointment at the dealership and get the car there. They just come to your house.
Yeah.
And do it there.
Okay, so there's some pluses. I'm seeing
for a personal vehicle. That's still not sold on it as a work vehicle right now.
No.
Okay, but
we're not there yet.
If we're going to take things to the extreme, we're going to look at the possibility that this might just be the future.
Oh, I for sure think we will be moving to it one day. If an EV or something, we won't be on an ICE engine on work cars in the future.
No.
So probably in our careers, I would almost wager.
So is this...
Well, mine.
Is this the time... Thanks, Eric.
Sorry, it's not that much of an age difference.
But. So is this the time that policing agencies in North America should make that switch and get into what could be the next generation of police vehicle? I know, and that's an open question to you guys, because there is another sub-question to that. If it is that time, and they're looking at these viable options and say maybe the lifetime of the vehicle is there, maybe we can get longer longevity out of it because we're not dealing with a nice engine anymore. In that, it looks very, very, you could say, modern, I guess, if that's a modern look you want to talk about. It's very edgy and all the rest of that. We all know that the public is against militarization of law enforcement in North America. Which is very much the case. If you're going to that, public perception, as we know, as we all know, public perception is key.
And important
to making sure that we put the right image out there. That's the sub-question, but is it time to switch? And do we think that that's the right image that we want to put out there with a product that's available at some ridiculous price? But is that going to be the next thing? And do we think that we're going to run into issues with the public thinking that this is just an army of Cybertron vehicles?
The first thing, again, and at the end of the day, public perception versus what is the case and what isn't the case
It's called reality.
It's called... Public perception isn't always
reality.
Reality, right? Yeah. It can be easily influenced. It can be changed. It is dependent, right? We all know what we do and what the equipment we need to do it safely and effectively. Because that equipment might look scary to someone, I don't think should have a bearing on whether or not we use it or not, based purely on looks. We don't judge things on how they look anymore. At least that's what I'm told.
To your question, like, are we there yet? Are we there? I would say in an urban environment, in your lower mainland, in your Toronto metro, in your Calgary, your Edmonton, like in your bigger metro centers where you have, you know, your stop and go traffic, yes, EVs to the private citizens are working absolutely fine in those conditions. I would say yes for a police force if we were able to modify the interiors correctly, whatever model you want to use, Tesla, Mustang, whatever, we're there. It's possible. And I think if you can figure out the charging cycles and get the cars going through, that's fine. I think in a rural or highway patrol, I think you would be pushing the limits of that vehicle. Yep. I think with the hard acceleration you need in highway patrol, the hard braking, the extended range, EVs do not shine on the highway. They are the opposite. No. They're the opposite of an ICE vehicle. Yep. They lose mileage. So highways are not their friend. City driving is their friend. So because of the regenerative braking. So yes, urban environments. Yeah, we're there. We just got to figure out, I think, the interior and the overall quality of the vehicle. For your rural environments, you know, are you going to take this thing down in FSR? Are you going to take it, you know, from Dillon to Buffalo Narrows back and forth? No, it'll be destroyed. The infrastructure is not there yet. All those things aren't there yet. But yes, I think their environments, we're there. We just got to figure out the interiors.
For those of you who don't know where Dillon is, it's the sub-detachment of Buffalo Narrows, which is the detachment that you accidentally put in when you're at depot.
You should never put in. Never put in.
You're driving Buffalo Detachment and Buffalo Narrows. Yeah, it's the first one that pops up.
They're two different places.
They're different places. And God, I'm going to get fired for all the things I say today. Probably. Sorry, I've been cooped up for a while.
That's okay. This is why we do this. I have one last question for you guys. I know. God, Papa, eh? He says, Papa. They're crying right now for you, FYI. You can feel it from a distance.
I think Kara's walking here.
25 kilometers away. It's just like, God, it's yearning.
Phantom cries all the time.
Here's the last question of the night before we shut down the Unreasonable Grounds podcast after dark. Would be the question is, if this takes place, the question is going to be, which agency does it first in Canada? What do you think?
It's going to be probably like VPD or Victoria. Delta. Yeah, Victoria. Percentage.
Really?
Yeah. LMD or South Vancouver Island for sure.
You think Del Manic's all down with doing the Tesla thing?
Saanich? Actually, no, I could see more Saanich. Saanich, really? Gulf Islands. Who is their MP?
I don't know who's their MP right now down there.
No idea.
I think they're the only green
MP. You don't even know.
Oh, it used to be.
It used to be Elizabeth May.
May, yeah. The only green MP in Parliament.
No,
yeah,
I don't think the green thing is going to be changing their mind at all
I mean, they already got the pilot project going in the...
In Langford, know, yeah.
In the West Shore, yeah.
The, you know, Victoria area. Yeah, I mean, why not? They're probably one of them. To be honest, it you know, I think Toronto would be well suited. I think Toronto doesn't get the super, super cold in the winter. You know, huge metro area. You've got a great infrastructure for charging. I think Toronto would be well suited to really do, you know, a mass deployment, but it's just the cost.
I got my money on Delta.
Yeah, Delta.
I can't see Delta doing it.
Delta pushes the absolute envelope when it comes to bringing out new technology, innovative.
Oh, well, I guess they had the darts, didn't they? Didn't they get the dart?
No, they launchers? got a.
Oh, sticky they got a whole bunch. Car.
Oh, they might have. Yeah, the GPS. They got a whole bunch of stuff. Their chief of police is really forward thinking.
Do they have like their own Q, kind of, or what?
Q,
like from Bond.
Oh,
they should. That'd be hilarious if they did. But that's the thing. That's a beautiful thing about a municipal agency like that is that they have the ability to be able to be innovative and free from the bindings that is, well, we see within the federal government and what we can and cannot you know, use and get into technology.
Still wouldn't work for anyone else.
I agree. But Delta is definitely, there could be a page that could be taken out of their book and then just like slowly slipped into maybe one of our policies that are like, yeah, let's just be, whoa, this weird thing, innovative, and just kind of do that. I think it's possible.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll
I think see. It'd be fun. But you know what? At the end of the day, Tesla Cybertruck, can it be used as a police vehicle? I think it could be.
Oh, absolutely.
Will it be?
I think it would be.
Will it be?
Probably not.
Probably not. But not, I think it's kind of cool to think about.
There's going to be some sheriff's department in, like,
it'll be a PR thing.
In Jimmy's Gulch, Louisiana.
It'll be Florida, Louisiana. It'll be Florida, Louisiana.
Sure. Yeah, someone, well, no, it won't be. It'll be in California. Somewhere in California.
Do you think it'll be the same guy that went and, like, seized up all those Hummers and has been switching all the drug dealers' Hummers and everything into the sheriff's vehicle, the Corvettes? I love those Corvettes, the C8 Corvettes or whatever. But, I mean, guys, obviously, I think that it's a good conversation to have. I think it's interesting. We saw a whole bunch of publicity this week that came out about it. That's why I wanted to put it out to everybody, see what they thought. It sounds like a whole lot of minuses and negatives opposed to, or cons opposed to pros. But in this particular case, I think it's really interesting regardless. I love police cars. I know we all love police cars. Yep. Get a kick out of them. We drive them around every single day as part of our job. We're getting kind of tired over the years of sitting our ass in our sciatics. Nerves are probably all shot to hell.
Best police car ever driven is a Ford Transit with leather and heated seats.
Oh, God. Prisoner vans. Go back to the bike unit. Everybody, remember to check out the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
MySpace,
everywhere, as Mike always says. Check out an episode, and like I think I always say this, be safe out there, and we'll be talking to you soon.